Broadcasting worldwide on the Golf Club Network. It's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
And a great good day to you. You are in the clubhouse. Magnificent day today.
Hello. I'm Mr. Red.
No. You are California Chrome. It's Belmont Stakes Day, and you've got to go get those Breathe Right strips on and get ready for the race, because we want a Triple Crown winner for the first time in goodness knows how long. And we're not going to talk about the merits of being low to the ground. He's a smaller horse, but I've got a lot of faith. California Chrome, go for it today. Today, we are talking about the U.S. Open and the U.S. Women's Open at Pinehurst back-to-back. And we're going to be talking with Mark Rolfing about that, NBC Golf Channel commentator. Right now, he's just wrapping up doing Golf Central after doing Morning Drive, and he'll be calling in just a couple of moments. We've got a great list of guests for you, including a blind golfer. He's won 70 times globally. His name is Pat Brown Jr., and we're trying to get him in on the Lifetime Achievement Award category into the World Golf Hall of Fame. We'll be talking with him. I want to give away a couple of rounds of golf at Poipu Bay Golf Course. This is for Father's Day. There's a Father's Day sale. Great gifts for Dad. It's 30% off the regular price for men's apparel. And if you spend $100, you get $25 off your round of golf that you might like to play today. For instance, there's the 820. That's a little close. There's a 940, 1130. Can you dial 808-296-5467? All you cowboys on Kauai, just dial the number 808-296-5467, and you will win two rounds of golf at Poipu Bay Golf Course. That's 808-296-5467. The winners so far for the Bridgestone golf balls have been Linda Lee, Gary Neary, Jim Quinn, Robert Galdialina, and I've got your golf balls all ready to ship in the priority mailboxes. And today, there's something else going on. It is the Mililani Golf Wine, it's not wine, it's Golf and Food Fest. There could be wine too. Golf and Food Fest at Mililani Golf Course. The first person to find Joey Taddeo over at Mililani, it starts at 9 o'clock, goes until 2 o'clock this afternoon. If you find Joey and you say, hi, I heard about this on the golf club, he'll just give you a gift certificate for a round of golf at Mililani Golf Course. Let's thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Dr. Armand Chong Dentist, the director of the Hawaii TMJ Institute, dental director for 10 senior facilities, the official dentist of the 1990-95 Hula Bowl and Aloha Bowl. Dr. Armand Kainoa Chong, a great dentist, 737-3525. And Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, hosted PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf for over 10 years, an outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities. The Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem. Also, Star Protection. For property threat and risk assessment, protection for your home or business, for your concert or special event, like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Get the Star team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California. And also, Acura of Honolulu, where military appreciation never ends. Ask TJ about the military appreciation pricing and discount at 777 Ala Moana Boulevard. It's a great day to test drive an Acura of Honolulu.
Absolutely great year for those who won this year at the Mid-Pacific Country Club. Hawaii's Nick Mason, the 2014 Mid-Pac Open champ, he earned his way into the U.S. Open at Pinehurst. He played at Rockville, Maryland sectional and placed second with rounds of 70 and 71. He is in the U.S. Open at Pinehurst. And Hawaii's Zira Suyatsugu, she qualified at the Wailea Country Club for the U.S. Women's Open that happens the week after the men's open. Two-time U.S. Open qualifier Marielle Galdiano is the first alternate. And for the last, this is coming at the last U.S. Women's Amateur Public Links Championship, Alice Kim had the low round at Eva Beach. She is one of six Hawaii players going into the U.S. Women's Amateur Public Links Championship. qualifying as well is the 2014 Jenny K. Wilson Invitational Champ, Mariel Galdiano, Sid Okino, Rose Huang, Casey Masuda, Malia Nam, and 13-year-old Annika Sue Manutalafala. Now, also in Hawaii right now, Annika Sorenstam, and there is a very cool clinic going on, 3 o'clock tomorrow, Kapolei, for families and children. Annika is doing a clinic for all the kids and the families, and she is so much fun to be with. Also, Mark Rolfing is so much fun. The U.S. Open at Pinehurst, followed by the U.S. Women's Open at Pinehurst. Some ways, you know, it's easier for U.S. Open officials. They've only got to be in one place for 2 majors, but in other ways, it's absolutely a nightmare. Imagine trying to get volunteers for 2 major events from one community. Granted, there are a lot of different areas and a lot of people want to be at Pinehurst for the U.S. Men's Open or Women's Open, but that is a real challenge. And then there's the course. Will it play awful for the women after the men trample it to death? Mark Rolfing is with us this morning. He just finished Morning Drive, then he was doing Golf Central, and now he's here on the Golf Club. Welcome to the show, Mark.
I keep going up the ladder, one more important show after another, and now the most important. How are you, Danielle?
Excellent. You did a fabulous job, absolutely fabulous. I was listening to you as I was getting ready for work yesterday, and you really caught me off guard because all of a sudden you're talking about Phil Mickelson. Came in second 6 times, okay? But then you talked about him, and you said something about what did you call him again? Curious George of golf?
He is the Curious George of golf. I mean, he's like a mad scientist, Danielle, that mixes up all these different ingredients, and sometimes they all blow up in his face, and sometimes they work. You just never know with Phil, but that's what's so intriguing about him, and that's why he's so popular.
Yeah, and I mean, the flop shot that he hit on Thursday, I saw it in replay. I didn't see it live, but so how did you do that?
Well, you know, there's only a few players in the world that can actually do that because you have to have a lot of nerve. You saw how hard he swung. I mean, typically, if you swung that hard, you would hit a ball 100 yards from that distance, but he's got this 64-degree wedge, and he laid the face wide open, and he's able to swing and maintain the loft of the club, and he's got no fear in it, so he doesn't try and help the ball get up in the air, and consequently, he can play that shot. But he loves those kind of things. And one thing about Curious George is you got to feed that curiosity. When he plays a typical sort of dull, straightforward golf course for a U.S. Open, sometimes I don't really think it interests him that much. Pinehurst, he loves. He loves the new redo by Corey Crenshaw. And it's going to be a real test of his imagination, which is going to keep his mind occupied. And I think that's going to be a positive thing. I'm looking for Phil to still, regardless of anything going on in the rest of his life, I'm looking for him to have a great U.S. Open and maybe even win it.
Okay. And I know I listened to you carefully this morning. You said this is going to be, all right, I'm going to go straight into it. This is going to be a course you're going to have to drive well. At the same time, he's got to be on the putting green. He's got to be on, like, in being able to sink putts. He's got to have a great short game on this course. Now, Phil hasn't had a great short game this year. I think he's dropped to 100 in greens in regulation, and his driver is, well, it's not reliable. So how do you see him overcoming both of those problems?
You know, we've seen this before, Danielle, from Phil. I mean, when he won the British Open last year, he was not playing well at all. He's had stretches in his career where he was playing horrible, and then all of a sudden up shows Phil, and he wins. I don't think sort of past performance or trends really have any impact on the way Phil plays. It's all a matter of confidence for Phil. And the thing about Pinehurst is all the players in this field are going to miss these greens. For those of you listening who have not been to Pinehurst, if you can imagine a saucer that you would put under your cup for your morning coffee, if you take that saucer and turn it upside down, that's the way the greens look at Pinehurst. They are very difficult to hit. And any ball that's curving away from the center of the green is going to ricochet off the slopes of the green and end up off the green. And everybody's going to be faced with that. Consequently, all the players are going to be chipping and all the players are going to be putting. And if you put Phil Mickelson at a U.S. Open into a chipping and putting contest, I think he will win that contest. Now, he hasn't putted well this year up to this point. He's got to get that confidence back, and that's why Memphis, where he's playing right now, is so important. And he looks to me like he's starting to putt better. He's made a couple of birdies today. He's going to get into contention, and I think that bodes well for next week for Phil.
And you were talking about how good is this Memphis event as a tune-up for the U.S. Open?
It's a really good tune-up. You may not look at it and say, wow, this looks like a U.S. Open course. It's not. But the fact is, this set of greens in Memphis, Danielle, was the second most difficult set to hit in regulation on the entire PGA Tour last year, second only to Harbortown. Now, given that, that means that you're chipping and putting all day long in Memphis because everybody's missing greens. Phil's only hit half the greens in his round today. Same thing with Ben Crane. Ben Crane hasn't hit all the greens either, but he's made every putt and he's chipped well on the ones he's missed. So this is going to be a really good preparation. The other thing is, in Memphis, the grass is cut very low. It's very closely mown around the greens, and that's the way it's going to be at Pinehurst. You're not going to hit a lot of those flop shots like you saw Phil hit in Memphis the other day. You're not going to be hitting a lot of those at Pinehurst. You're going to be chipping off those closely mown areas. And he'll do a lot of that the next couple of rounds in Memphis. It's a good tune-up.
Interesting. Now, back in 1990, when Payne Stewart won at Pinehurst, too, it was a different course. So what did Crenshaw and Kaur do to change Pinehurst?
Basically, Danielle, what you had back when Payne Stewart won the U.S. Open at Pinehurst was you had very long holes that had tremendously deep rough bordering both sides of the hole on pretty much every hole out there. What Kaur and Crenshaw did was, number one, widen the fairways. The fairways are twice as wide as they were back then when Payne won. They then eliminated the rough totally. So they've gone back to the way the course originally played when Donald Ross designed it. And there are a lot of sort of sandy, natural waste areas bordering these fairways. Will they be easier? Will it be easier to play out of those areas than the rough? I don't think so. Will it be easier to hit the fairways than it was before? The answer is yes, because they're going to be quite a bit wider. So consequently, where in normal U.S. Opens, you see a lot of players laying up off the tee because you can't afford to hit it into the rough. Here, with these fairways being as wide as they are, you're going to hit a lot more drivers than you normally would in a U.S. Open. And the guys that tend to stray a little bit are going to have more room. And the weather report also, Danielle, is not good for Pinehurst. It is going to rain off and on all week long, which is going to soften it up. And once it gets a little softer, that also helps Phil with his errant tee shots. It'll keep him in play a little more.
I got to switch then from the men's open, because the women will be playing the Monday after the men finish. And, wow, if there's a weather delay, if the weather mucks up the course, that's going to be really difficult for the women, not having those practice rounds that they'll need.
Well, that's not the only thing. I have to tell you, I have not been a fan of this back-to-back U.S. Open initiative from the beginning. I really think it is going to be problematic in a lot of ways. Certainly, it's going to give a lot of exposure to the women being able to play the same course as the men, but the worst scenario could actually play out, Danielle, and that is a lot of rain. So not only would a lot of rain potentially delay the tournament and impact practice rounds, a lot of rain, if Pinehurst gets softened up, it's going to get trampled way more, and there's going to be much more damage done by the players. The divots are going to be bigger. The spectator areas are going to get trampled a lot more. The roughs are going to get torn up a lot more. Not necessarily rough like we talked about tall grass, but the natural areas where people are hitting balls out of there and walking out of there. Just think about the exit areas on the greens. Those are not going to change. I'm not worried about whether the greens will be as good for the women. I think they will, but what I'm worried about is where all the people walk for a week off the green, every green in the same spot for the next hole. those places are going to get worn out and they're going to get muddy. And I don't know. I think it's going to be a real question as to whether or not this experiment turns out to be the success that they thought it was going to.
You know, yeah, the weather's always been a dangerous factor. But as you prefaced that, you said they're getting a whole bunch of exposure. How often have we talked about a U.S. Women's Open this much before a U.S. Men's Open? So it's a big, they're getting exposure, but it seems like the U.S., excuse me, the women, the LPGA, they're on fire this year. They seem to be almost playing better than the guys. their tour is more exciting right now, guys. I'm sorry about that.
You know, I have fallen in love with the LPGA again, Danielle. And, of course, you and I saw each other a lot during the Lotte Championship at Coatalina, and that was just a fabulous week. But the fact is, the star players, the popular players, the ones that the fans want to see, are winning tournaments on the LPGA, and that's not been the case on the PGA Tour. We've had, you know, just all sorts of collapses from star players this year on the PGA Tour, and you've seen some horrible golf. Frankly, last Sunday at Memorial was terrible.
Yes,
you know, Bubba Watson blew the lead, hit a ball out of bounds into a yard that was practically in Indiana, not even in Ohio. Adam Scott, you know, hit a ball in the water at 12, double bogey, and then took two to get out of a bunker at 14, and you know, everybody totally collapsed, and Matsuyama won. But the LPGA has been great. And Michelle Wee has been a big part of that, and I'm gonna say it here. I haven't had a really chance yet to talk a whole lot about the Women's Open, but right now, I'm feeling good that Michelle Wee is going to win that U.S. Women's Open.
Why now? Okay, on the Memorial, I called it the meltdown at Memorial, and I was very happy to see Hideki Matsuyama win because the kids got game. For Michelle Wee, though, why do you think Pinehurst sets up well for her game?
Well, I think the U.S. Open could be just about anywhere, and it would set up good for Michelle's game right now. That's how good her game is. But on Golf Central a few minutes ago, Kelly Tillman was talking about David Ledbetter and how he's tightened up her swing and about how she's putting better and all this stuff. And I agree. I mean, all those things are good for Michelle, but the one thing that has really changed for Michelle and the reason that I think she can win the U.S. Open is that Michelle has fallen in love with golf again. And that may sound like a strange statement, but I think, frankly, Danielle, Michelle fell out of love with golf for a period of 4 or 5 years there, and you didn't see a whole lot of smiles from Michelle on the golf course, and it was hard work, and she was struggling, and she wasn't happy. She wasn't enjoying it. And you look at her now, and you see the gleam in her eye again and the big smiles on her face, and she loves playing golf again. To me, that is the biggest change that I've seen in Michelle Wee.
That's awesome. It really is wonderful to see that smile on her face. And we started seeing that during the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, the Michelle Wee Tournament of Champions that, you know, she hosts in a way, right? And she's also the title sponsor. And it's really been changing, and seeing her interact with the kids here in Hawaii, the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association members, was I think a big change. Didn't we start seeing that change about a couple of years ago?
We did, and let me tell you what I really think has helped this change and actually speeded it up, and that is the fact that Michelle is now coming back to Hawaii in the off season in the winter. If you think about it, Danielle, she came out to Hawaii last winter for 5 weeks, which is a long stretch for her out there. That's where her friends are. She didn't touch a club for 5 weeks. She just enjoyed being back in the islands and seeing her friends again, none of whom, you know, her friends in Hawaii really are golfers. And that little break from the game, that five-week break, did wonders for Michelle. And when she came out and began this 2014 season, she was totally refreshed and totally eager to play and couldn't wait to get back on the course. But I think a lot of it had to do with coming to Hawaii for those 5 weeks.
And she's contending every week. And you know, that last year, 2 years ago, when she would be contending and you'd worry, okay, she's there, but is she going to fall apart? That it's not happening. She's consistent, and it's absolutely beautiful to see. Have you seen the documentary Pain that's going to be on Golf Channel, I think, on Monday?
No, I've only seen trailers on it, Danielle, but I know it's going to be fabulous. And I don't know, it's going to be a hard week for me going back to Pinehurst for a couple of reasons. One is it's going to be the last U.S. Open that NBC is televising because the contract goes to Fox after this one. But more importantly, probably my favorite golf tournament, maybe other than a Ryder Cup, let's say, probably my favorite golf tournament that I've ever been a part of was that 1999 U.S. Open at Pinehurst. And it's going to be hard, you know, walking around anywhere at Pinehurst next week or watching any player or seeing any shot and not think about pain. He left us way too early. He was an incredible guy, and his life was beginning to change at that point. He really had become a new person in the last couple of years prior to winning that U.S. Open, and we're going to be thinking about him all week next week, that's for sure.
I want to leave you with this thought. Mark Rolfing, NBC and Golf Channel commentator. David Ishii is on next. And, of course, we have the David Ishii fundraiser coming up, his annual event. But in his newsletter, P.J. Samier talks about the David Ishii Foundation provides travel stipends for the golfers attending the Boys U.S. Junior Amateur Golf Championships. And he wrote a little write-up for the newsletter, and he said, Mark Rolfing was commentating and gave a nice narrative during video of me walking up the 16th fairway, mentioning the HSJGA hat that I wore and the Hawaii logo golf bag on my caddy. Mr. Rolfing's mentioning of the Junior Golf Association in Hawaii made me more proud of where I was, where I was from, and how far I had come. Of all the birdies and eagles I carted during play, this may have been the cherry on top moment of my entire journey.
Okay, that makes me feel good.
I wanted you to know that. Mark Rolfing.
Well, thank you. I am so proud, Danielle, to not only be from Hawaii, but I'm just so proud of the HSJGA and what David is doing now to continue to help these kids. It's just incredible when you think about how geographically we all are challenged out there, being in such a remote situation. It takes extra effort on behalf of people, you know, to give the kids a chance. And what the HSJGA and Mary B. and everybody have done with that organization is just incredible. And I am really, really proud to be a part of it.
Awesome. Mark Rolfing, thanks for being on the show.
All right, Danielle, keep up the good work.
Thank you. And David Ishii is up next, and Ripped Links after that. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Why wait? To be old enough or wise enough? Why wait to own the road ahead when you can do it now? Why wait to drive the Acura ILX? Why wait to experience design with purpose? An exterior so unique you have to see it to believe it. Why wait to have the world within reach with the intuitive controls of the Acura ILX? Why wait to grab life by the wheel when you can do it now with paddle shifters? Why wait to follow the rules when you can make up your own? Why wait another 25 years to get what you want? The 2014 Acura ILX. Don't wait. Have a quarter-life crisis.
Be sure to come visit your Hawaii Acura dealers and check out our latest models, cutting-edge features, and amazing deals. Visit us today.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. Property guard and patrol services. Loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
Oh man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh man, can't be too happy about that one. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on The Golf Club.
Welcome to the show, David Ishii, director of golf, Pearl Country Club, PGA Tour champion, Japan PGA Tour champion, president of the David S. Ishii Foundation. It's the 14th annual David S. Ishii Foundation tournament, funds Hawaii High School Athletic Association Golf Championship. The HSAA serves 98 public and private high schools in Hawaii, and the money raised in this tournament funds the championship, provides stipends to golfers, like you heard me talking about just a few minutes ago. Welcome to the show, David.
Hi, good morning, Danielle. Thank you.
Absolutely great to hear your voice. I love your mission statement. The primary mission is to promote and advance the game of golf and educate the public as to its benefits to society. That's it's like you were way ahead of the curve.
No, it's just, you know, just pass on what the great men before us have. You know, I was in junior golf, and they tried to instill that in us about the value of the game of golf. And the Hawaii business community has always been real kind to support, you know, anything for junior golf. And I think that's why we have such a good junior golf program in Hawaii.
And your tournament is so successful. If I wanted to play next year, how soon would I have to sign up?
Well, we just try to, you know, send out the letters as soon as possible to enter, but usually we don't start the entries until next January or so. We don't get working for the entries till next year. But this year, unfortunately, we're all sold out this year.
I figured you would be. I figured, you know, it's the David S. Ishii Foundation Golf Tournament. It's June 26, 2014. If you would like to get involved, and there are some amazing companies, Ron's Construction, Aloha Shoyu, hundreds of volunteers, golf courses, KTA superstores, they're all involved, and that's just naming a few. What are some of the major sponsors you wanted to acknowledge for making this tournament as successful and wonderful as it is?
Well, we have, you know, Danielle, we're proud to say that in our tournament, almost every group is called a sponsor. They're coming at the sponsor level.
Ah.
So we have so many, you know, loyal people that play every year. But most of them are all companies like Fujitsu. They really support us. They try to enter three teams every year. And, you know, and there's so many teams, DEI, Hawaii Producers, Hawaii Marketing, RK Sales, B. Heyman. Some of the people in the golf industry might recognize some of the names.
Absolutely.
My friends, where I go to for my massage, Aisen Shiatsu, Amaron, you know, the list goes on and on.
That's what I was amazed about, because I was going through your list of sponsors and thinking to myself, you know, this is a family that represents Hawaii, not only in the golf side, but just all over. Everybody supports because they know it's really good for the kids. And it's kind of like what you're, you know, Through the Green is the name of the David S. Ishii Foundation newsletter. It's about life, right? In addition to being about golf.
Well, you know, Mary, Danielle, the real reason for our newsletter, real interest is Arnold Hira. You know Arnold. He writes our articles. He gets the interviews and comes up with the different things he can bring about to tell the people who support our foundation what's going on and what things have gone on throughout the past year. But Arnold just has a way of making, you know,
articles feel and bring home the human side of things. And this year's article was one about Ann Miller, how she really has supported golf through all her stories in the Advertiser. And, you know, Ann has now kind of semi-retired from the newspaper business. She still writes a golf article, but Ann's not going to be there full-time like we've been used to seeing her all the time.
Yeah, it's great to see that she is still participating, and she's writing a book about Mr. Shoji and how influential he was in sport, in volleyball, and it's great. And I want to thank your co-chairs, Delmark Fujita, Wendell Tom, Jay Hinazumi, all the co-tournament chairs for making this tournament and all of the events that they do. The 14th annual David S. Ishii Foundation Tournament. I think the Executive Women's Golf Association, we need to sign up and get as many groups in as we possibly can so we can be a part of this. Excellent.
Yeah, thank you, Danielle.
Thank you very much, yeah. And have a great day. And thank you masseuse too, for waiting for me.
Yeah, but no. But thank you for including me on your show and for all you do to help the game of golf. Golf is a big tourist thing, industry for Hawaii, and all the interest we can get in golf is well appreciated. Golf needs, people playing to be, a great game and successful game in Hawaii.
That's awesome. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.
Aloha.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Aloha. And we want to thank the McLaughlin family and Midpack Country Club and Kauai Lagoons and Kiahuna, KTA Superstores, Charlie and Mary B. Porter King, Ko'olina, Wahoo Country Club, Waikoloa Kings, Pukalani, Greg Meyer, Titleist, Mililani, Ann Miller, and hundreds of volunteers who make that great tournament that raises money to support the kids, the Hawaii High School Athletic Association Golf Championships, serving 98 public and private high schools in Hawaii. We'll be back with a very interesting gentleman. His name is Pat Brown Jr. And on my show a couple of weeks ago with David Ogren, David told me a story about a blind man who beat Payne Stewart by 18 strokes. And I went, what? I had no idea that a couple of weeks later I'd have the pleasure to meet Pat Brown Jr., and you will too right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Do you suffer from migraines and headaches, stiff neck, or grind your teeth? Come see Dr. Armand Chong at the Hawaii TMJ Institute. 20 years and state-of-the-art diagnostics with a caring staff gives you peace of mind. We're located at 3660 Wailai Avenue in Kaimuki, above Kahala. Call 737-2865 for your appointment. Validated parking. The first step to ending your chronic pain is Dr. Armand Chong at the Hawaii TMJ Institute.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tea time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
It's The Golf Club. Visit our website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor links. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on The Golf Club.
And welcome back. It's Father's Day coming up next week, and the Father's Day sale is underway at Poipu Bay Golf Course. They're going to aerate the greens on Monday, so they'll be closed. But this weekend, you need to go and get great gifts for Dad, okay? 30% off the regular-priced men's apparel. And, get him a couple of shirts. He'll love it. it's something, you know, about getting a new golf shirt. It just feels good. It goes for women, too. It just feels good. You can never have too many golf shirts. So get down a new golf shirt. And if you spend over $100 for, you know, a golf shirt or two, or maybe a pair of shoes, it's all men's apparel, you get a $25 certificate off your green fee. And, you know, we had a couple of lines busy, so the number to dial is 808. Come on, everybody. Get the answer. 808-296-5467. You do get chance. It's not everybody else who wins. You can, too. Okay? And then you can win two rounds of golf at Poipu Bay Golf Course. Now, into the room, in a way, the man, Pat Brown Jr., 70 global blind golf victories, 23 national championship titles, U.S. Blind Golfers Association international ambassador. He's in his 80s now, but he is still competitive. Welcome to the show, Mr. Pat Brown Jr.
Thank you, Danielle. How are you?
I'm good. It's a beautiful Saturday morning. It's a great day to go out and play golf. And you know, as I mentioned before the commercial break, I was talking to David Ogren, and he told me about your victory against Payne Stewart. And Payne Stewart was blindfolded, and he said something to the effect that no matter how much he practiced, he'd never be able to beat you.
I don't recall him saying that, but he was, you know, that was awful good of him to do that. You know, here he was, maybe the top golfer in the world, and he was going to go ahead and put himself on our level and blindfold himself and play. I thought it was great of him to do that.
He said that he was humbled by your prowess. And he actually, it's quoted in an article that even if I practiced every day, I could never beat him.
I didn't know that, but we became very good friends, and he was a fine human being.
Yeah. Now, you lost your sight in an auto accident.
In 1966, right.
Wow. And I was wondering, is it because you had sight that may have helped you, or was that harder to overcome, having had sight and then losing your sight and having to depend on your other senses?
Well, I had played a great deal of golf sighted. So I was, you know, very familiar with the game. In terms of accepting the blindness, my faith helped me a great deal there, and I really didn't have a problem in doing it. I thought I could return to the practice of law, which I did, and tried cases in court and so forth. So I was able to do that. And then sometime, maybe a year or so after I'd lost my sight, some of my friends said, come on, Pat, let's go try to hit golf ball. I thought they'd lost their mind. but it was kind of interesting. I could make pretty good contact with the driver on a tee, but to try to hit an iron, I just dribbled it along the ground for a good while before I could learn to hit the shot properly.
Well, yeah, I have such a hard time with my wood. It's just the idea of not being able to see anything scares the dickens out of me. But some people say that if you close your eyes and hit the shot, you might actually have better contact than if you keep your eyes open and stare at the ball.
Well, the key is getting the proper address, you know, and having a swing, good or bad, that you repeat. And so, to play blind golf, I have what we call a coach. And I would say coaches are probably 60-65% of the team. And I had the best for a long time. That was the reason in my book for our success.
70 global blind golf victories, 23 national championship titles. And the U.S. Blind Golfers Association has launched a national campaign to encourage you, the public, and the PGA of America professionals listening, and the major golf associations around the world, and professional tours around the world to write into the World Golf Hall of Fame. The lifetime achievement category is the, and the letters, it's so easy. Just email them. You don't have to, you know, write a letter. That always makes a good impression on people, but it, you know, you always think, well, it's going to take forever to get there and I don't know the address. And how about just emailing? And it's so simple. Letters at WGH. If only I could read, you know, the alphabet. Let me start over again. Letters at WGHOF.org. That's World Golf Hall of Fame.org, but it's only the letters. Okay, so you put in your, you know, two letters, LETTERS at WGHOF.org, and that will go to the World Golf Hall of Fame, and you will pronounce your support to induct Pat Brown Jr. into the World Golf Hall of Fame as a Lifetime Achievement Award winner. The Mary B. Porter King Award. Mary B. Porter King lives in Hawaii, Mr. Brown. And she, yes, and she is just the most wonderful person. She started the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association.
Oh, great.
And she is such a great, great person. And when I saw that you had won her award given by the Metropolitan Golf Writers Association, I thought, how cool. And then I kept looking, and you got the 1988 Ben Hogan Award presented by the Golf Writers Association of America. You were elected to the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame, Tulane University Hall of Fame, Sugar Bowl Athletic Hall of Fame. Did you ever think when you lost your sight that you would rise to such levels athletically?
Never entered my mind.
My goodness. How often do you play still?
Well, I hit balls. We have a coach, and most of the time I have a young assistant pro who's working in the pro shop, and he has about an hour to spend. And my son has coached me for years, but he, you know, he's off trying to make a living now, too. But so I would much rather hit balls for an hour than play a couple of holes. So I don't play a lot, but I hit shots most days of the week.
How, when you say coach, can you explain how that works?
Yes. I will put my golf club on my thigh, parallel to the ground, and he will hold the handle standing behind me so that he's looking at the target, and he lines me up by aiming that club, and he's got to get me in a position where the ball is in the proper position, which, you know, that takes a little time about how far away I should be, because the less movement I have to make to address the ball, the better. But after a while, my coach gets to the point where they, you know, all I have to do is really drop the club out. And the tough part about them, and why I always need young fellas, is that they have to do a deep knee bend and hold it, hold that club behind the ball. And I sure goodness couldn't do it.
So they've got it. They're doing squats. That's what.
Absolutely. And a lot of them every day, particularly when we practice.
Well, I think that's great. That's good for them. It's good for them. We need to remind these young people, you're doing your squats. This is good for you.
That's right.
Yeah, go set up, Mr. Brown. This is marvelous, marvelous. You know, in fact, I was watching on the LPGA when they were here for the Lotte, and I was amazed because I actually saw someone line up a driver for one of the LPGA players.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, wait a minute. I see them lining up putts all the time, but I see them actually adjust the driver head so that it was in the right position.
In position. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. That's kind of surprising.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought, uh-huh. Really? I looked to my friend who's a very tall, very good golfer. He's, you know, went into the U.S. amateur. And I looked at him. I said, did I really see somebody line up the driver head for that player? And he goes, uh-huh, yeah. So, and in competition, how often do you compete now? I mean, we're talking with Pat Brown Jr. He's won 70 global blind golf victories, 23 national championship titles, and he's now in his 80s. But I'm told you're still competitive, sir.
Well, I haven't played the last couple of years, and that just was sort of a problem with coaching. You know, getting the coach.
I gotcha.
I still hit balls and enjoy doing it and enjoy playing. But competitively, I haven't. Well, I guess the last time I competed was last summer.
Oh, that's not that long ago. I was thrilled.
How long ago? Yeah, before last, my wife's corrected me.
Hey, time flies when you're having fun, you know?
That's exactly right.
Arnold Palmer is behind the movement to have Mr. Pat Brown Jr. inducted into the 2015 class, World Golf Hall of Fame. And you can too. It's letters@wghof.org. Okay? So it's really simple. And you are invited, the public, to do it. PGA of America professionals, if you're listening, major golf associations, professional tours, right to the World Golf Hall of Fame Lifetime Achievement category for Mr. Pat Brown Jr. Is there someone you would like to thank, Mr. Brown?
Well, you right now. Thank you very much.
It's been my pleasure to meet you. Thank you for being on the show.
Okay. Well, take care of yourself.
I will. Thank you, and you too.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Aloha. That is Mr. Pat Brown Jr. And as I said, Mr. David Ogren, a couple weeks ago, you know, we're talking, he goes, you know, Payne Stewart got beat by the best blind golfer in the world. And here he is on the show. Isn't that, it's just kismet. It's wonderful. So, again, the address is letters@wghof.org. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
The beaten path is not for everyone. That's why we designed the new Acura MDX just for you. With features like Jewel-Eye LED headlights that mimic natural sunlight, illuminating more of what lies ahead. Integrated dynamic system with 3 separate performance settings to meet your mood. One-touch walk-in for simple one-button access in and out of the third row. And available AcuraLink surface street traffic information to keep you one step ahead of the herd. Maybe it's called the beaten path, because it can be beaten. Introducing the new 2014 Acura MDX. 3-year traffic subscription included. See your Acura dealer for system and coverage details.
Be sure to come visit your Hawaii Acura dealers and check out our latest models, cutting-edge features, and amazing deals. Visit us today.
In the security business, trust is earned over time.
That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting-edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star, Star Protection Agency.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
I got an idea for you. It's Father's Day next week. Dinner at Morton Steakhouse is on Acura. That's right. Dinner at Morton's Steakhouse for just test driving the RLX, MDX, or RDX. Ask for TJ at Acura, 777 Ala Moana Boulevard. Call TJ to set up your test drive. Dinner at Morton's Steakhouse. The number is 942-4555. Yummy. Speaking of yummy, today is the Mililani Golf Club. I think it's the 14th annual event. It's Golf and Food Fest.
Yeah.
And they're going to have steak samples, but not Morton's Steakhouse dinners. But it's going to be fun because they're doing clinics and there's demo day and everybody's there. And you've got to go test out all the new clubs. You got to feel them. You got to swing them. You got to make them yours. And then you say, you know what? I want this fitted for me. And they'll do that. They'll do that today. And they might even give you the demo day. And that doesn't mean that you're getting old clubs, used demo clubs. No. It's demonstration pricing specials. Mm-hmm. So they're brand new clubs. They come to you out of the box. They'll send them straight to you after they're fitted for you. And today, if you find Joey Tadeo, he owns the Aloha Golf Center. If you find Joey Tadeo at Mililani Golf Course, and you walk up to him and say, you know, I found you, Joey. I heard about this on the golf club. You will get a free round of golf at Mililani Golf Club. That's all you got to do is find Joey. You better be there, Joey. Wouldn't want to be sending somebody on a wild goose chase now. All right. 2 years ago, Game Golf. You know Game Golf? They started up with an Indiegogo crowdfunding campaign. Today, Game Golf is backed by Golf Channel, PGA of America. It's being sold in Apple stores. I mean, it's huge. Okay, it's around the world. Well, today, Ripped Links Golf. It's an idea to get young people into the game in a fast-paced competition. You know how kids love to run. That'll get kids playing golf. You say, yeah, but it's, you know, we don't have to change the game of golf to get people playing in golf. We're not changing the game of golf. The game of golf will always be there. But we want to get young people in ways that are exciting for them. And then, as they get older, and as less able to use skateboards as they play golf, then they'll go and play golf in a traditional manner. You know, the Indiegogo campaign begins on June 13th. June 13th, that's this coming Friday. That would be Friday the 13th. Let's bring in Colin Weston, one of the creators of this fabulous, fun idea. And I got to ask you, Ripped Links Tour creator Colin Weston, did you know that next week is Friday the 13th?
I do know that. We're not afraid of that at all. When I played basketball and competitively in high school, I purposely wore number 13, and it seemed to give me pretty good luck as we won the city championship. So I like to think it's a good luck number.
Oh, well, that's fantastic. You know 13 then. It's your number.
I embrace 13.
All
I'm,
right.
I'm comfortable with 13. It's okay.
So it was interesting. You know, you have a video out on YouTube explaining what you're doing, and it's a draft. I shared it this morning on Twitter. Is that okay?
I saw that. No, that's perfectly fine, because we've posted that on Facebook also and Twitter.
Okay.
Just to get some feedback already and generate a little bit of buzz, of course, but to get some feedback from people. And we've got some very positive feedback and some very good constructive criticism on how we're going to tweak that. So we're going to do one more refinement before we release it to the wild next week, as you mentioned for us there on Friday the 13th for our Indiegogo campaign. And so we'll tighten it up a little bit there with the messaging and the production quality of that also.
Okay. I tend to be like not only talking about golf, but talking about lots of different things that are trending in our society. I haven't gotten into Bitcoin, and I really don't want to because it's complicated. But Indiegogo is a way for a company, a startup, to finance itself. There are different, but Indiegogo seems to be the one that's come to fore that most people know about. Michelle Wee uses it for some of the campaigns that she does to raise money for the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. You're doing it to get the last bit of a chunk of money that you need. Now, why did you decide to go to crowdsource funding? And what's the drive behind getting this first event happening on Saturday in downtown Vancouver on September 6th?
Okay, well, I'll try to answer the second question first here. The why are we having the event in Vancouver on September 6th? As you know, myself and Philip Davis, who you had the chance to talk to back in January when we were on your show there, We've been working very hard over the last year building relationships and spending a lot of time in the States getting RipLinks off the ground and getting a first event going. And we've had very positive feedback and response from major sponsors, from TaylorMade Adidas Golf and even Cobra Puma Golf, and they all love it. And there's a whole list of them, even Oakley and also outside of the game of golf in the corporate realm. And they always ask us a very simple question. So how many events have you had? And we look at them and say, none. And then they say, well, when are you having an event? And we say, soon. And they say, well, that's fantastic. When you have an event, let us know. And let us know how that goes. And then we'll talk then. So Philip and I found we were in that classic startup business conundrum or paradox that you need to build something and to have it validated for people to actually buy into it. Like once they see it and they can kick the tires, then they'll step up. And that's what we were facing here. So we decided over a month ago, rather than kind of wait for this perfect event and opportunity to come along, we, as entrepreneurs, we just had to make this thing happen. And both of us being from Vancouver, Canada, we decided, well, what the heck? Why don't we just host it in our own backyard here? Because we know the kind of the business community and are very plugged into what's going on here. And we just said, that's what we're going to do. We're just going to make this thing happen, and that's exactly what we've done. So now that we've actually said that on the corporate and investor side, we've had very positive feedback, and we've got some commitments already to help us out with the financing of this. So that was really the reason why. We realized we had to finally have an event and to validate the gameplay model that we're looking at here, the fan experience, and also our ability to prove to people that Philip and I can actually do this, even though I think, as we mentioned before, Danielle, that we have we're both architects and we have a lot of experience in the kind of the sport and fan experience design realm and in both the Pan Am Games and Olympic game level in the past. So putting all that together, we're able to do this, but now we've got to prove that we can. So really what the Vancouver event is, if you want to call it a beta test or a prototype or an experiment, or that's exactly what this will be. It'll be the most awesome experiment ever, because what we're going to be doing there is going to be a lot of fun. But that is the kind of the reason why we decided and came to the conclusion. We just have to have an event, and we have to make this thing happen. Now, to answer the first part of your question is why an Indiegogo campaign. We looked at this with our financing that we have and the partnerships that we have. We have the ability right now to stage a very basic event to test the elements and components and even kind of video capture this in a very rudimentary way. But for us to be able to go back to our potential corporate and broadcast partners, you know, they want to see more of what we're going to be doing here in order to commit to the 2015 American Tour that we're looking to get up and running. So they want to see something that is more robust and more exciting. So the reason we're going with the Indiegogo campaign is to kind of fund that last bit, raise the money so we can turn a basic event into something spectacular. So
absolutely.
That's kind of the nutshell of why we're doing it. So the reason why we're getting people involved. And also it's more than just the money, too. The money is just a minor component. It's also part of kind of the promotional vehicle that we have here to create the buzz that we need and get people excited about it.
Absolutely. You know, let me just interrupt you really quick, because I just want to identify the stations you're on, and you'll be on this station again this afternoon talking about this, because it re-airs on KGU Honolulu, KPUA Hilo, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo. So, Ripped Links Tour. We talked about it before on the show. We're talking with Colin Weston, starting an Indiegogo campaign to crowdsource fund the event that's going to kick off the Ripped Links phenomena. We've got the first event on September 6th. Now you say, okay, what does that have to do with golf and what's Ripped Links? So I wanted to establish what, first of all, they're doing. They're putting on, it's almost like a festival, a golf festival, if you will, with stages and platforms and young people, men and women, competing as teams against one another in an arena with crowds of people participating as spectators. Imagine Phoenix, okay? And you're there in the 17th in the stadium. And there's all these people, and they're cheering, and they're cheering, and it's a par three, and you come through the tunnel, and here's everybody, and you're surrounded. It's exciting. They're having fun. The contestants are having fun. The spectators are having fun. And I had it in my mind, we talked about this earlier, about the zip line, you know, going from one point to another via zip line. And then we've changed it up a little bit, I hear. So why don't you describe to us how this golf competition is going to work in this arena?
I will. Well, you did a very nice job of describing what the kind of the parallels of what we're looking at here. And using the 16th at Phoenix is a great example. And Philip and I spent 3 days down there in January enjoying that and kind of learning from that. So we like to say that Rip Links is the 16th hole at Phoenix on steroids with an action sport vibe, I guess is a nice way to describe it, or golf meets action sports in a loud, fast, fun, competitive environment. So what we're looking at doing here, as you touched on there, with the zip line, we've always had the zip line in to get just as part of the experience of that, to kind of make things faster from the elevated tee boxes that we have. For the par threes that we have, and the one hole we're going to have is going to be about 110 yards off the elevated tee box, and we were looking at having a zip line coming down, which we will do in future events. But right now, we've looked at both for logistics, the time it'll take to build that, and also for the financing of that. Right now, we've decided to put that on hold and flip that around. And as I mentioned to you earlier through Twitter, we are. Now entering a partnership with Golf Board, and if people are familiar with that, they won kind of best new product at the PGA Merchandise Show in January. So that's a motorized longboard that's really getting some traction and getting on. And their idea is to make golf more fun and to make the round faster and being on the golf course. So in Golf Boards, if people want to have a look at that product too, is amazing. So we're working with them. So we're looking as far as the experience. After our players hit off the elevated tees, now they will take the golf boards kind of from the tee to the green and kind of up over some ramps. Nothing too dangerous or nothing too kind of crazy and kind of X Games Shaun White type of stuff. Nice and gentle, but still it's part of the kind of amping up the energy and making it more fun. And that's how players are getting to and from the green. Back and forth in at the Vancouver event. So that's what we're looking at doing there. So put the zip line on hold right now, just for the kind of the reasons right now that we're looking at. But then, really kind of amping up the involvement of Golf Board and embedding that in the gameplay experience.
I like it because you can always put the zip line in later, have them flying over from one place to another, depending on how large this becomes. It's very exciting. Now, how are we going to play this game? And I understand there's 9 players in each group. So, and it's boys and girls.
That's right. So what we're looking at, once again, with Vancouver, since we want to, you know, we're being very realistic and pragmatic about this. We're not trying to make this thing so big and bite off so much that it's going to kind of overwhelm us or exceed our financial capabilities right now. So with our tour, we're looking at, because we're always about 3 players in groups of 3, with our tour next year, we're looking at 27 players, like I said, half the field, men and women, playing head-to-head, which is one of the great things about Rip Links golf, is the fact that we have complete gender equality here. No separate women's division or just a couple of women in. It's a half split field. And to be honest, I think the best result we can have if a woman actually kicks some butt and actually wins our first event in Vancouver, that would be amazing. That would be very cool. And we're kind of hoping that that happens. But we'll let the competition and their elite level ability to play golf to dictate what happens with that. So to get back to your question there, so we're looking at 27 players in the at the tour level, but for Vancouver we're looking at 9. So we're going to have the gameplay will only take about 3 to 4 hours, the simulations that we've done. So what we'll have in the first set of rounds, so we'll have 3 groups of 3 players playing off, so it's 3 against each other. They play the hole 3 times with different pin positions, so they play and then they add up their score at the end of that. The whole time with the crowd, you know, the crowd screaming, the commentator and announcer, amping up the energy level, the DJs and the spinning and the music going, and as you put it very nicely, it is a festival going on, and the players just have to contend with that type of environment. We look at it that if Major League Baseball hitters can, they can hit a 90 mile an hour fastball with 50,000 people screaming, our golfers will do just fine. Also, we're not concerned about that level of noise.
No,
they'll be just fine. So we're looking at the nine players. So you got the three rounds of three in the opening round. So, and this is the gameplay without getting too much in the detail. It kind of continuous play just to keep the energy level going there. And so after the three holes, if let's say myself and Danielle, if you were mm-hmm. in a group with me, and let's say one of your listeners were in a group of three with us.
Right.
So we play the hole three times with different pin positions. And at the end of that, if two of us or all three are still tied, we're not going to drag it out with someone wins a hole outright. It's back to the tee, amping up the energy level, everybody screaming even louder, and it's a one shot close to the pin. Whoever's close to the pin, if you nail it close to the pin, you move on, and myself and your listener go home. And
okay, I got
that's
it.
Done. So it's short and sweet. And so you would move on to the final then, along with the two other winners of the first rounds, and then you play the final round, which will take about 45 minutes or so, less than an hour. And if you win the whole thing, you're up on the podium there, crown champion, and everybody's having a good time. And that's within, like I said, three to 4 hours of play, we're done. So it's not a 4-day thing that drags out. It's
immediate gratification. Yes,
absolutely. which appeals to a younger audience is really what we're about. As you know, we're doing this because we love golf, and we're coexisting with golf. We're not trying to disparage golf in any way. We're just creating something new that appeals to a younger audience who currently they have no desire to watch golf and no desire to play the game for the most part. And the game, as we know, through Hack Golf initiatives and the numbers that they've put out there, 5 million golfers have left the game in the last 10 years out of 25 million. So that's 20%, if my math is correct on that. So they understand. Mark King and TaylorMade and Hack Golf understands this. And we're not saying we're the magic bullet that's going to fix everything, but we're certainly coming up with a format that is scalable and repeatable, and it's not just a one-off spectacle. And that's what we want to do: create a tour with our players, create a storyline with this, and have it so that it will grow as we go. With Vancouver being the seed, for lack of a better metaphor, that it will be the seed that we'll plant and we'll grow it from there.
I love it. It's like we have Topgolf, all and it's kind of like Top Golf meets skateboard meets, I don't know, music festival. And it's exciting, and it's dynamic, and it draws crowds, and the kids have fun. And if you make golf fun, whatever, you still have to use a stick and a ball and hit a target.
Absolutely. And these are elite level players, as we've talked about before, that are between 18 and 30 years old, so between 0 and even 8 or 9 or 10 handicaps, so they can flat out play, and they have to have personality and a bit of an edge to them, and they've got we don't want to be putting a microphone in front of someone afterwards and they're just kind of dead as a doornail. We want to make sure that they have some charisma to them. And on that note, we already have two players of our nine committed to play, both American players. We have from Big Break NFL fame, you may know Will Lowry.
Yes.
Who plays cross-handed with dreadlocks. He's a great guy. We actually met him in Orlando, and he's wanted to play since we met, so we've been in touch. So Will is committed to play, and also a young woman named Maggie Noel, who actually works at Topgolf. She's a professional golf instructor and works out of Houston, and she is going to play too. And she knows Will very well, and she's already said I got to kick his butt. So
that's awesome.
We've got Maggie involved, and so we have the two of those players there. And Maggie's at I believe her handle is at She Plays Golf. And people can check her out, and Will Lowry, people from if they follow Big Break at all, can actually see what he's all about also. So they're the kind of the perfect kind of prototypical player. They have that look and that personality, and they can flat out play.
Now, are you having tryouts?
Interesting that you ask that. We are looking for the tour eventually. The answer is yes, But for the Vancouver event, we are all also going to do that. And that ties in very nicely to our Indiegogo campaign and our perks that we have for our contributors on that. And anybody that contributes, they will have exclusive voting rights to choose two of our nine players for the Vancouver event. And we haven't got that up and rolling quite yet, but that's what we're going to be doing. So we're going to shortlist three men and three women, and then have everybody that contributes to the Indiegogo campaign, they get to vote and choose which one of the three, both a man and a woman, who is going to play in the Vancouver event. So with that in mind, we're also going to be rolling out very soon as part of our social engagement campaign is the to allow people, to, if they want to come and play and be in Vancouver and submit a very much like a American Idol.
I was going to say American Idol.
Absolutely. If people want, and we'll put that out there, and we'll definitely keep you up on that on Twitter in the next couple of weeks. But that we're certainly looking about doing that because we're about engaging the fan and the fan experience even more than the PGA Tour is or is capable of doing. And we're, really, the fan, our fans are the heroes of this. Not Philip and I, and not Rip Links. This is really about bringing the game to the people and getting it off the golf course and bringing it to the people.
Yeah,
not only physically in a downtown or urban location, but also through social media. Also,
you're making golf gladiators.
That's what we're trying to do.
Yes, you are. You're making golf gladiators in a fast, fun, loud, golf uncultured sort of way.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Colin Weston, thanks for being on the show. What a thrill. I have to take a commercial break. You're welcome to hang out if there's something that we left out, but let me take this break. Do you want to stay?
I have a couple of minutes. I can stay, sure.
If you've got something more to add, then I would love to have you. We'll be back right after this. We're talking with Colin Weston. It's Ripped Links, and it's going to be fun. It's like American Idol, Top Golf, Golf Gladiators. I like that. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the golf club.
It was our office manager's birthday, and she loves golf. So we decided to get together for golf at Poipu Bay, and we invited a bunch of our customers. It turned into a party. The clubhouse restaurant made a fabulous lunch. The customers had a great time and met the people they give orders to. They were golf buddies long before the 19th hole. Golf at Poipu Bay. Family, friends, business, and fun at Poipu Bay Golf Course on Kauai's South Shore. Spectacular. Call 742-8711 and book your tee time, get together, or event at Poipu Bay. That's 742-8711. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem.
Do you suffer from migraines and headaches, stiff neck, or grind your teeth? Come see Dr. Armand Chong at the Hawaii TMJ Institute. 20 years and state-of-the-art diagnostics with a caring staff gives you peace of mind. We're located at 3660 Wailea Avenue in Kaimuki, above Kahala. Call 737-2865 for your appointment. Validated parking. The first step to ending your chronic pain is Dr. Armand Chong at the Hawaii TMJ Institute.
Oh man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh man, can't be too happy about that one.
Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
All right, we're talking with Colin Weston. It's called Ripped Links. The first event is happening in Vancouver on Saturday, September 6th. You want to go to downtown Vancouver? I mean, what a beautiful city. I can't imagine. It's got that vibe to it where you could have this festival atmosphere where golf board meets Target Golf, Top Golf. Everybody's competing. There's groups of three going up against each other. And just having a really good time. Indiegogo crowdsource campaign begins this coming Friday, the 13th. Is there anything that we left out that you'd like to add? Because, of course, you're going to be back on the show to tell us more about some of the people who are going to be participating, including Will Lowry of Big Break and Maggie Newell. She's a Top Golf instructor, and she's, what is her handle again? She plays golf?
I believe it is at She Plays Golf.
I'll have to look for her. So now that you had a couple minutes to think, anything you'd like to add?
Just a couple last things, of course, regarding the Indiegogo campaign and what is available as perks for contributors. Like I mentioned already, the exclusive voting rights to kind of choose the players. So getting engaged in that, we will be offering that. But also things such as hats and T-shirts, we'll be offering that at certain contribution levels as perks. But also, if people do want to come to Vancouver, or if they're in Vancouver already and can show up for the event, we have experiential perks such as premium seating and VIP access, even pre- and post-event fan experience, the after-party, and hanging out with the players beforehand, and even playing the hole before the round and riding on the golf board and experiencing it as if you were a Riplinx player. So we've got lots of perks on there.
That's a backstage pass.
Pretty much a backstage VIP that we're offering there. So we've got those at all different kind of perk levels that people have a chance to see as of next Friday when we launch the campaign.
And, excellent.
And hopefully people will help us out and excuse me, if they're able to contribute a couple of dollars and help make a good thing great, that would be fantastic. And even better if they're willing to share it with their friends and colleagues and to help get the word out and share the love. That would be fantastic.
Thank you, Colin Weston. Awesome. Really excited that this is getting off the ground. And congratulations to you and Philip for taking that bold step. Sometimes you've just got to do it. Put it on. Make it happen. And you guys can. And Vancouver, the town needs to get behind it because it's going to be so much fun. I'm so glad you found a place for it. It's awesome. Thanks for being on the show.
Well, thank you, Danielle. I appreciate your time and I appreciate your support. I'd love to talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Aloha.
Aloha.
Now, we're going to switch gears completely. Now, first of all, Father's Day is coming up. And at Poipu Bay Golf Course, there's the Father's Day sale. Great gifts for Dad. Okay, first of all, you go over there and you get him a couple of shirts. If you spend $100, then you're going to get $25 off the round of golf. Hey, you know, you give that to Dad too. Of course you do, right? Yeah. Okay. We've also got at Mililani, the Golf and Food Expo. It starts at 9:00. If you find Joey Tadeo and you say you heard it on the golf club, he'll give you a certificate for a round of golf at Mililani Golf Course. It's the Golf and Food Expo at Mililani. We're bringing in Alexis Eaton, and we're going to talk to Alexis. She's from the Sheraton Maui Resort and Spa about a couple of things that are going on, including, well, something that's special, the Maui Craft event. But first, it's June. And what do women like to do in June? They like to get married. Maybe it's too late. Yeah, it's too late to plan for a June wedding, or maybe it's not. Maybe you're a spontaneous sort of person, you just want to do it. Welcome to the show, Alexis.
Aloha, Danielle. Thank you so much.
I mean, is it even possible at such a late date if someone were visiting?
Anything is possible.
Anything.
Yes. There are still many days left in June, so we can definitely accommodate a June wedding.
That'd be fabulous. I mean, if you were here, you know, you're driving on Maui and you're listening right now and you thought, you know, we've been thinking about it, but we never, and this way you don't have to worry about inviting a bunch of people. And at the same time, you can have that perfect royal experience because this wedding on the green that you've put together, Sheraton Maui Resort and Spa with Ka'anapali, it's at the Royal Course, and that's the Robert Trent Jones course designed. It's on Maui. It's been host to many really special events with Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer playing in them. And the Ka'anapali Royal Course is beautiful. Is that the fifth hole that I'm looking at in the picture that you sent? I put it on Facebook and on Twitter.
Yes, it is. So the Sheraton Maui Resort and Spa has had a long history of golf birthing with us, and of course, you know, romantic couples as well. So we got together with the golf course and said, how can we, you know, do this? And we've done it. So the fifth hole, from the photo that you see that's on Twitter and on Facebook, that is the spot. So you have an absolutely gorgeous panoramic view, and if you've played the course, you know the views that course commands with the neighbor islands in the background and the water, and you're right on the backside of the Black Rock, which is the home of the Sheraton Maui Resort and Spa.
It's beautiful. Now, I'm, you know, all kinds of cartoon jokes come to mind as the couple is standing there about to say their I do's, and in comes a golf ball.
Well, we have that coordinated with the course, so unless you want that to happen, it won't. Maybe tie the rings to a golf ball. Hey, that's a good idea.
Unless you wanted to. That's so sweet. Yes, we can plan that for you, the incoming golf ball. And tie the rings to a golf ball. That'd be great to have it come flying in. Here come the ring bearer. Could you hit that shot for me, please?
I love it.
Yes, it's Wedding on the Green at Ka'anapali Royal Course, and you get in touch with Alexis Eaton at the Sheraton Maui Resort and Spa.
And we have all the additional details and information on our website, which is Sheraton-Maui.com, as well as on Facebook and Twitter at Sheraton Maui.
Excellent. Now, you don't have the reception on the fifth hole. That's where the actual ceremony takes place.
Yes, correct.
What are my reception options?
So the Sheraton Maui has a vast selection of romantic locations. So we have numerous lawn locations. We have our coral reef room, which is sort of an indoor-outdoor. It's a gorgeous room. So we have a lot of options. We have a great selection of locations throughout the property for any size. You know, it could be a very intimate wedding with 2 to 4 people, or it could be a large wedding with, you know, hundreds.
Far,
so we can accommodate it all.
So if I wanted to be at the Ka'anapali Point, that sounds like a really small area. Is that a small for a small group?
It is a small area. It can accommodate about 25 to 30 people. So, yeah, and you know what else we're seeing a lot of are vow renewals. So sometimes even though you've been married for many years, you want to, reconfirm your vows to each other. So this would be a very unique way to do that, and in a location that, you know, really speaks to a lot of people on the golf course.
You know, that idea of the golf ball bringing the rings in, it's just, I'm trying to figure out how to do that without damaging the golf ball. The rings.
The rings, yeah. Maybe it needs to, they'll be inside of it and it opens up like a ring case.
Boy, we're being awfully creative on the air here. So the other options are the Ali'i Lawn, the Moana Lawn, the Ocean Lawn, and the Black Rock Lawn. Is the Black Rock Lawn the one that's very close to the Lahaina side of the Sheraton Maui Resort?
It's actually tucked right in at the base of Black Rock. Oh. And then the Ali'i Lawn is part of our Ali'i Suite, which is our presidential suite, and that's located up at the pinnacle of Black Rock. So you have the most incredible view of all of Ka'anapali Beach, and it's a heart-shaped lawn, and the wedding couple actually spends the night in the Ali'i Suite as well. So it's that's a really cool package that definitely would leave lasting memories.
Wow. But that one you probably need to plan ahead for, right?
Yeah.
that's a plan ahead one, but there's a spontaneous, and I really like the idea of renewing your vows. That's a really cool idea. How many people do that?
Well, we just launched the package, so excuse me.
It's okay. Let me clear your voice. I need to let everybody know about something that's special that's happening, because, of course, it's Father's Day. So all I can do is talk about Father's Day. And I'd also like to give away Bridgestone golf balls to the ninth caller. Now, you know, I know people say to themselves, I'm not going to win. I'm not going to call because I'll get a busy signal. That's not necessarily the case. The number is 808-296-5467. 808-296-5467. You can't have won golf balls in the last 6 months. But if you haven't won golf balls, Bridgestone golf balls, the B330s, yes, they're brand new. Do be the caller, the ninth caller, 808-296-5467. It's as simple as that. I mean, a box of golf balls. Hello, make the call. All right, and you can win, I promise. And dinner at Morton Steakhouse. Would you like to take Dad? you know, he's been okay, right? He's been a nice guy. Dinner at Morton's Steakhouse is on Acura for just test driving. The RLX, the MDX, the RDX, these are beautiful automobiles. Ask for TJ at Acura, 777 Ala Moana Boulevard. Call TJ, set up your test drive, and dinner at Morton's Steakhouse is on TJ. 942-4555. Let's pinch his pocketbook. 942-4555. That's dinner at Morton's Steakhouse. Good. Okay, so let's see how Alexis is doing. Don't you just hate it when all of a sudden your voice goes out on you?
Alexis? Oh, I'm so sorry. Yes, I'm much better now.
Oh, goody. All right, now there's something coming up that we'll talk about in July. There's a music festival happening in the area of Ka'anapali that my friends from Maranol School are going to, and they're going to be playing. I'm just so excited that Cord is going to be playing in this music festival. Really cool. But you've also got the Maui Craft Session going on. When is that happening?
So the Maui Craft Session is happening on July 12th, and that's really a celebration of spirits and beer and cigars.
Did you say that again? Beer?
Oh, beer, spirits, and cigars.
The spirits and cigars. Now, is that beer and spirits possibly made in Hawaii?
Many of them are. So Maui Brewing Company, which many are familiar with, makes Bikini Blonde and the Mana Wheat and many other beers that we all love. So they're coming together with us and showcasing some of their really unique craft beers at this event. And then there's a whiskey tasting where we're partnering with Southern Wine and Spirits. And it's comparing old world style versus new world style of production. So it's really an event for connoisseurs, for people who are interested in, talking to experts about these drinks and comparing and learning a lot.
I would love it if somebody would bring back Okole Hau. Because I know that's not whiskey, but it's very, very good. It's so tasty and so smooth that you don't realize it's a dangerous little drink. But I've had the pleasure of doing a whiskey tasting, and it was a single malt, you know. I mean, it was all different kinds. It was at a lovely resort in Phoenix. So I'm just thrilled that the Sheraton Maui Resort and Spa is putting on the Maui Craft Session, where you can sample beers, sample spirits, and sample cigars. What kind of cigars?
We will have Cigar Bar Hawaii, which will be providing a variety of cigars. So everyone will be able to try them. And then, of course, our culinary team will be preparing a huge spread for the evening. And we'll have music in the background on the oceanfront lawn at the Sheraton Maui. It's the second year for this event. And it's a lot of fun.
I'm excited. I want to be there.
You should come over.
Yeah, you should come over. You're absolutely right. When is it?
July 12th, and all of the information and details and tickets are available on our website at sheraton-maui.com.
That's right near my birthday. Okay. Alexis Eaton, thanks so much for being on the show and sharing all the wonderful things that are happening at the Sheraton Maui Resort and Spa.
Thank you so much, Danielle.
Absolutely. Aloha. Aloha. Hey, thank you to our sponsors who make this show possible. Dr. Armand Chong, he's a really great guy. He's a great dentist. He's not intimidating. You know,
you feel
comfortable, all right? He's the director of the Hawaii TMJ Institute. If you get migraines, he may be able to help. It could be in your jaw. Dental director for 10 senior facilities, Dr. Armand Kainoa Chong, 737-3525. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes. I love Poipu Bay. A unique and unforgettable golf experience. It's Poipu Bay Golf Course on Kauai's South Shore. And you know what? Great gifts for dad are available with 30% off the regular priced men's apparel. That's at Poipu Bay Golf Course. Star Protection. For property threat and risk assessment, for protection for your home, for your business, you get the STAR team on your property. They assess the risks that you're facing, and then they put a protection plan in place. It's STAR Protection. It's what you need for your property. And of course, we're putting the squeeze on. I love saying this. TJ, dinner at Morton Steakhouse is on Acura for just test driving the RLX, the MDX, the RDX. Give them a call. The number is 942-4555-777 Ala Moana Boulevard. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2014.